Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, it's great to share the word with you tonight from Luke 13, 18 to 35, and it's a delight to welcome you. And I also like to extend that welcome to our online listeners. Great to have you tuning in as well. My topic tonight really comes from the Lord's Prayer, Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we're really answering the question tonight, what does the kingdom of God look like and how is that kingdom ushered in? And so in our text tonight, Jesus shares two metaphors to describe what the kingdom of God is like. In fact, verse 18 of Luke chapter 13 says, Jesus said to the disciples, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree and the birds make its nest in its branches. Wow, I love that analogy. As we think of that mustard seed, I just want to offer three insights into this illustration. The kingdom of God, firstly, starts small and somewhat insignificantly in the eyes of the world. So you think of that mustard seed. The second aspect is it builds slowly but surely. And thirdly, the kingdom of God grows exponentially. It grows beyond our wildest imagination. So there's three aspects from that illustration from Jesus. In this next story from verse 20, Jesus also asks, what is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. And so again, three aspects from this story of the yeast and the dough. And the first aspect was we know the yeast influences the whole, but it's a hidden influence. Secondly, the kingdom of God, we only need a little bit of it to make a significant difference. And then the third aspect, as we think of this parable of the yeast and the dough, is that the kingdom growth is unstoppable. Once it is in a situation or whatever circumstance, the kingdom of God, there's always going to be our net result. So our prayer is, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know that it starts small and somewhat insignificantly, but we know it is going to build slowly and surely and grow beyond our wildest imagination. I hope you can join with me in that kind of prayer as we think about that. But, you know, as we think about the kingdom, I think the challenge for believers is that we can't always see how the kingdom of God is developing or moving forward because at times it's hidden from view. You know, those early days here in Carawarra, I would often wonder if we are actually making any difference at all because I couldn't really see the impact we were making in the church, let alone the community. Now, this went on for probably about 2 years, and I remember I was feeling very low about all of this, and I came across the story out of Matthew 11, where maybe you remember this story, where John the Baptist is in prison, and he decides to send two of his disciples to ask Jesus this question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? In other words, they were kind of saying, from our perspective, it really doesn't appear to look like anything is happening. And Jesus replies in this way, the blind are receiving sight, the lame walk, leprosy is cured, and good news is being preached to the poor. And as I read those words, I began to see that God had done so much in those 2 years. He was setting people free. We had people from all walks of life coming in, including those who were just out of prison, those who were still in prison, the orphans, the widows, and the disadvantaged. You know, Carawarra started insignificantly and really small, but God has a way of taking what is small and really nothing and making it into really something. You know, I recently had a pastor come and attend our meeting only for him to remark, you know, well, doesn't really look like anything's happening here. Maybe you should think about closing the church. I was shocked. And I said to him, well, that's where you're wrong. Let me tell you how the kingdom of God has grown from nothing to really something here in Karawara. And over 10 years, we have been seeing the kingdom of come great with great power to change our communities. So Jesus offers us insight into what is the kingdom of God like. But I guess I would say we're still left with questions. Questions like, how does the kingdom of God start? How do we truly know when it's come with power? How can we spot the signs that God's kingdom is coming even when we are unable to see it? Because just like yeast in the dough or mustard seed in the ground, we can't actually see it developing, but we trust that it is. And these must have been questions that others in Jesus' time also had. In fact, as we move on into the next story, there's an interesting question that's posed by one of the followers. In verse 23 of chapter 11, someone said to Jesus, Lord, will only a few people be saved? Now, I think that's a very interesting question, because perhaps people around him couldn't actually see the impact of Jesus' message upon the hearts of those who were listening to his teaching. It may have even appeared to some that not much was happening at all. And Jesus is blunt and straight to the point. He said to them, verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Now, John 10, verse 7 says, Jesus, who says of himself, said, I am the door of the sheep. He is the narrow door, if I can use that analogy. And he says here that everyone has to make every effort to come to him. Now, I just want to caution, this is not salvation by works. We know Ephesians 2 teaches that, you know, salvation is always by grace received through faith, not by our good works so no one can boast. But rather, we must do everything we can to discover who Jesus is. Now, for the believer, I believe that effort finishes once we go through the door. As we make Jesus our Lord, and then what he does is he begins to open doors of opportunity. If you looked at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it talks about a door of opportunity or a door of faith that God opens so that we can begin to see the kingdom of God come. But I want to say to those who do not believe, Jesus is saying in terms of the narrow door, he's calling you to strive to enter that narrow door. In other words, to search for Jesus. And the promise is if you search for Jesus, you will find him. But we have to enter the kingdom before it is too late. In other words, before we leave this earth, before we pass away, we've got to make a decision to try and search for Jesus and strive to that end. Jesus continues in verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. And then you will say, we ate and drank with you, Jesus, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evil doers. Oh boy, that's a pretty tough word. But again, John 10 talks about the fact that Jesus knows his sheep and his sheep know his voice. It's talking about an intimate relationship that we must search for and discover by the grace of God. So it's not enough to just go through the outward motions of a belief in God. Our hearts have to be in it. We have to submit to Jesus as Lord, who called us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And just when you think, well, Jesus, I believe you've made your point. I really understand that point. I think we can move on. Jesus decides that he needs to press the point further for those who refuse to believe. And this is a tough section coming up. Verse 28, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who who will be last. Now, there is some conjecture around the timing of kind of when will this happen? But most commentators would state that Jesus is now pointing to a time of his return, which is going to include the final judgment and then the new heavens together with the new earth joining together where God will dwell and where believers will enjoy God's presence in the new heavens and the new earth forever. There's no easy way to say this except to say that Jesus is saying there is a place reserved for those who have not submitted to Jesus Christ as Lord, and that place will be a place of suffering. It will be a place of weeping. It actually will be a place of great distress, an awful place. But for those who call upon Jesus as Lord, we will get to feast forever and ever and ever and ever in the kingdom of God. That's going to be very special for those who believe. Now, friends, most likely he's speaking to Pharisees who are going to feature in the next part of our text. And the Pharisees, which was a Jewish sect of Judaism, the leaders, they thought they could achieve perfection and be gained automatic entry to the kingdom of heaven by keeping the rules. And the people they were teaching were also thinking this. And this was the automatic mindset. God will just let me in because I kept the law perfectly, or as best as we could. And I liken it to a little bit like their thinking is you come up to some automatic doors, you know, where in a shopping center or something, and they just go open and, you know, you get the green light and you get to go in. And this was kind of their thinking, is that they'll go up to the kingdom of heaven, the automatic doors will just go open, and I think they might get a shock if the green light stays red and the automatic doors don't open. At our mother church, Lifestream South Perth, they've just installed new automatic doors on the front entry. It's fantastic. We walk up to the doors and we walk straight in. But sometimes when we walk up to the door, they actually don't open, even though the light is green, because someone has entered a code to lock that door from intruders. And to get in, one has to know the code or to have a swipe pass to enter. Now, only a few staff members know that code or have a swipe pass, and it's only been given to a select few. But here's the good news. To every believer, Christ has given you and I a personalized swipe pass, as well as the code. And the code is really his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that enables us free entry into the kingdom of God. The doors will automatically part. Hallelujah. How good is that? So wonderful. That door, friends, is made simple and is made available to all in the person of Christ, who, through some hidden interactions with the Pharisee, he now begins to state his end goal. This is from verse 31, the goal of Christ. He talks about his death and resurrection, but also his second coming. Have a listen to this. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" Now, here's the gospel, friends, creatively expressed by Jesus in his death. The first day, his burials, first, second day, and on the third day, he rose again, his resurrection. But then what we see is Jesus moves into a lament. Verse 34, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I gather your children together as hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken." Now, the people of the day, particularly the religious leaders, were very negative and at times hostile towards Jesus. And it may have been very difficult for people to see how the kingdom of God was actually advancing. See, the kingdom of God would begin on the foundation of the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and its final consummation will occur at the second coming of Jesus. Jesus said this of himself in John 12, verse 24, unless a kernel of wheat, a single seed, falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is talking about himself, about his death on the cross, and how that would stimulate and inspire and see the Holy Spirit poured out for the first church to be born and to grow ever since. The kingdom of God has been extending ever since. He finishes this final reference in verse 35. It's actually a reference to Psalm 118, verse 26. I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Friends, the Lord's return is imminent. But until then, he's calling you and I to build this kingdom. And ultimately, we're still left with that question, how is that kingdom ushered in? In what ways do we see that? And there's a statement that I've always lived by, and I love this statement because it's a very positive thing. And this is the statement. Repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. Can I say that again? Repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. Now, just like the Pharisees and some people today, they were not willing to repent. And when we see that, that's hard to take. It's very hard for us all. But when we see someone repent, which means change their life, change their mind, change their behavior, actually die to self, we actually see repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. And for those who serve the Lord and his reign, remember these things that I shared very early on in this message. The kingdom of God starts small and builds slowly. Remember that the door is narrow, but simply accessed through Jesus Christ. And finally, that some people may see repentance as a negative, but you know what? Repentance is one of the most positive actions that a person can make. And maybe that's something you want to do today. Because remember, repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to say this to those who believe and those who do not believe. I want to share my pastor's heart in this matter. Perhaps I could just share first with those who don't believe, but you're part of our community or you're part of our online community and you're searching. Can I just say, we are so glad that we've connected with you and you've connected with us and that you are part of our community. But I love you too much to not share the word that one must repent and turn to Jesus before it's too late. Today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. And to repent means to change of mind, to do a 180 and turn to God's ways, and in his strength and grace, you can turn your life over to him. And to believe in your whole heart that he is the Son of God who died for your sins and he rose again on the third day to give you new life. Can I urge you to choose Jesus sooner than later? For believers, you can rejoice that you have entered through the narrow door and continue to now pray for a door of opportunity or a door of faith to open between you and those who are yet to believe and to call them to repentance, to call them to discover Christ, to discover the awesome life that's in Jesus' name, and to make every effort to search for Jesus. And maybe you can make this prayer, this your prayer this week. Repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. You know, one of the wonderful, wonderful joys that we get to see is pre-believers repenting and believing in the Son of God. It's so special. And many of us who call Lifestreams Karawara home remember a gentleman by the name of Raven. And I remember asking Raven, would you like to learn about Jesus? Would you like to find out more about Jesus? I remember his answer was something to the effect, where does he live? I had never heard of the name of Jesus even once. And so we began to do the alpha sessions with Raven. And in the third session, there's a wonderful session called How Can We Have Faith? And in that session, they talk about Jesus who knocks on the door, and they put it pictorially there. And the person's on the inside, and it's up to them to open the door to let Jesus in and to have that fellowship and communion and intimacy and relationship with God. And I said to Raven, do you understand this? And he said, yeah, I do, but I'm not ready to open the door. I said, that's okay. We came back for the fourth session and I said to him, are you ready to open that door? And he says, oh, not yet, he said. I'm getting closer, but I really need to think about this, which I welcomed. I said, yeah, you need to make an informed decision when you open that door. Well, from there, we hadn't seen Raven for some time. We lost a little connection. But then he came back and did the fifth session of Alpha. And before I could say hello, he said, Darren, I've got something to tell you. Open the door, he said. Hallelujah. That was so wonderful to hear him say that. You know, we also lost connection after that, but he did get baptized and gave his life to Jesus. But I recently connected with Raven via a Google review, funny enough, on the 13th of June, and Raven said, this is my spiritual home, talking about the fellowship of believers. I miss all the spiritual brothers and sisters. God bless you all. It was very special to receive that message. Now, that day, Raven repented and gave his life to Christ, like so many here and so many that are listening online. And this opened up the kingdom of God over him. Why? Because there was repentance. There was a change of direction to move into God's ways. And I know we've experienced that too. Remember, friends, repentance opens the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. We want to see the kingdom of God ushered in wherever we're situated and wherever we're tuning into this message. Can you pray with me for just a moment? It's been a joy to be able to share with you today. Let's pray together. And so, Father, we thank you for those special verses out of the Lord's Prayer, that you are our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We're praying your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, today we ask for those of us who are yet to believe, would you open our hearts? Would you help us to respond? And I thank you, Lord, for those who are searching for Jesus, for the promise that they will find him if they search with their whole heart. And would you reveal yourself and identify yourself to them? And Lord, for those of us who are in the kingdom of God, would you open new, fresh doors of opportunity this week, I pray. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.